Okay.
We're rolling.
We're rolling.
Brilliant. We've come out. We've come away from the BEF garden.
We've gone for a change of scenery today.
Now, this was my idea, and then it was not a great idea when we came out because it was too windy. So we've managed to find a bit of cover underneath the tree. I mean, it's still gorgeous.
You know? Oh, yeah, the sun's out. It's lovely.
Yeah. Or it does feel it's not been as sunny this week. It was like chucking it down over the weekend. But anyway, here we are. And loads of stuff to get through today. Let's start with the thing that I managed to forget last week. And I couldn't work it out. It was taking me so long to work out what it was that we should have included. And it turned out it was Trot to Tokyo, which you and I have been working enormously hard on. So first of all, tell us what Trot to Tokyo is.
So Trot to Tokyo is the challenge that we at the British Equestrian Federation have set ourselves. It started on the 24th of July and will last for 1 year, which will take us to the 24th of July 2020, which is the day that the Tokyo Olympic Games begins.
Uh-huh.
And we have Henry, the mechanical horse, in our office, and he's also going out on tour across the country, and we are aiming to clock up how many miles, Matt?
It's like 5,900 miles. It's something like that. It's ridiculously far, obviously, because it's Tokyo. And we've worked out how far, it's like 10 minutes equals a mile and a half?
Mile and a half. So basically that 5,900 is the distance from our offices to Tokyo.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, we've worked out that 10 minutes on Henry equates to about a mile and a half. So it's quite a lot of riding that's going to need to happen in that year.
Well, it is. And we sort of tried to do some calculations and realised that it was basically going to be you and me having to ride this horse all day, every day, or we won't be able to cover all of that distance. So, as you say, we have enlisted the help of the public. So if you go, there are a number of shows that Henry's going to be appearing at. Where has he already been?
He's already been to the Royal International at Hickstead. He's been to the New Forest Show, and he's been to the Festival of British Venting at Gatcombe. And between all of those and our own efforts, he's clocked up over 460 miles.
Which puts him where? Where does that put him?
Erfurt in Germany, in the middle
World
of Germany.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, yeah. Somewhere in Germany is where he is right now. So so if you see Henry at any of those shows, he's going to all the major shows, isn't he?
He is. Well, his next confirmed outings are Blair up in Scotland on the 22nd to the 25th of August, and then he's going to Burley, which is the 4th to the 7th of September. And he will be there with the British Horse Society on their stand. So if you would like to go to and ride Henry and help us towards our total, you can do that by visiting their stand and booking a time slot, which fill up very fast. So get there early.
Yeah, no, they do, because people are on Henry the entire time. That's where we clock up all of our miles, really. And also, you can make as part of this is that we're raising funds to help our riders get to Tokyo, to help pay for things. So if you can make a contribution there when you're riding Henry, that would be great.
The other fun thing that's happening with Tokyo is the test event is happening. Well, we're recording this on the Monday, which was, well, Tokyo's 8 hours ahead. So this morning in Tokyo, it was the dressage day.
Yeah.
But our team have been out there for probably almost a week now. We've sent two riders. Obviously, you heard about this last week. And quite a lot of support staff, and they have been keeping us up to date on social media, which has been going down very, very, very well.
It's been going absolutely nuts. It's amazing. So, but those images are just great. They're really fun.
They are. It's been giving a really good insight into why we go to these things, and it's not just to compete there. So I've asked some of our team out there to send us some little sound bites to tell us what they think of the facilities out there, how they're getting on, their first impressions. So this is what they've got to say.
Hi, Hi, it's Natasha Baker, para-dressage rider. I'm out here in Tokyo at the moment for the Ready Steady Tokyo test event, and it has been absolutely fantastic. I've enjoyed every single second. The equestrian park is truly phenomenal. The buildings are really beautiful, state of the art. The stables are incredible. I don't think the horses are going to want for anything. You know, they've got fantastic cooling facilities for all of the horses. And the stables are huge, really airy. There's air conditioning in there. So yeah, they're going to be really well looked after. The arenas are going to be really special once they've finished. It's actually quite a small facility. Everything's quite close together, which works really well. And yeah, the warm-up's brilliant. There's so much space. It's really hot out here, like insanely hot. But yeah, it's been a fantastic experience to just get my feet on the ground and just see what it's like, and then I can report back to all the riders at home and, you know, give them some real, you know, nuggets of information of how we can best prepare to get the best out of us and our horses for next year. So fingers crossed, it's going to be a good one.
Hello, it's Alex Vantal. I'm at Sea Forest, the site for the 2020 Olympic Games for the test event now in 2019, with two horses from Team GBR. So this morning we completed our dressage over at Baji Cohen, and then at lunchtime we loaded up the kit and the horses and we've moved over to Sea Forest. This afternoon was spent by unloading all the kit and then settling the horses in, and we also had a sneaky walk around the cross country. It's beautifully built, ground's amazing, can't wait to start tomorrow. The boys are very relaxed tonight, they're chilling in their stables, the aircon is on at 22 degrees, and looking forward to a good day tomorrow.
So we have had a particularly successful weekend. So we are recording this on the Monday, but it has been a very good weekend for our show jumpers, and in particular for one of our eventing riders who is having a phenomenal year. Fill us in, what's happened?
So we'll start with the show jumpers. And on Friday, we had the FEI Jumping Nations Cup of Ireland, which was held at Dublin Horse Show. And this was a pretty big deal for our team, wasn't it?
Yeah, no. So show jumping, for those of you who don't know, that's the only discipline so far of our four disciplines that's yet to qualify for Tokyo. And obviously they're going to have a chance at the Europeans. But the performance at Dublin, where they won, which was, and they won by some margin as
they
well.
They won by 11 penalties.
Yeah, that's huge. So they did really well. And what that means is that they might, if they don't quite book their spot at the Europeans, they might get, well, they will get another chance, won't they?
Yes, it's last chance saloon in the Nations Cup final in Barcelona in October. And there will be one Tokyo place up for grabs there for the highest team who hasn't already qualified. So this was, yeah, this was a big deal. We really wanted this.
Absolutely. We do not want to be biting our fingernails coming. We really want them to qualify their place at the Europeans. Let's go, because I don't think my heart is going to take it.
No.
If we have to wait until October and there's only one place left, oh my goodness, it's going to go through the charts. And what else do we have happen this weekend?
So the other weekend, the other thing that's happened this weekend was Piggy French, who is the woman of 2019.
What a year she's having. Goodness
she,
me.
Yeah, well, she's been having an excellent year, and she made it even better with two international wins at Hartbury. She won the three-star long with Brookfield Quality and the four-star short with Quarry Crest Echo, who is her horse that she's taken to the Europeans. But this actually gives us a pretty cool thing we've got going here. So according to EquiRatings, who, for those who don't know them, are an equine statistics company, who, by the way, have a very, very good eventing-related podcast. I encourage you to go and listen to this. after you've listened to ours, of
after
course.
Us, obviously.
After us, of course. But anyway, they've been keeping tabs on Piggy this year, and they flagged up that she's now got 11 international wins. And the record for the most international wins is currently held by Michael Jung, who is German eventing supremo. Mm. He's had 13.
Wow. Not far off.
She's got two more and to equal his record. And the season is not over yet.
No, I wouldn't bet against her doing that at all. I don't know what she's having for breakfast in the morning. I need some of that. Goodness me, what a year she's having.
She is. And by the way, little self-promotion plug here. Our second podcast interview, we did an interview with Piggy. So if you haven't listened to that one, go back through the archives and find it, because it was a really fun interview.
It was, and it talked about her wedding as well, her surprise wedding, which was great. So that brings us to the Europeans. So this is the last podcast we will do before we go out to the Europeans. When are you heading out?
I am heading out on Saturday, early Saturday morning, and I am very, very excited, but also quite scared by the size of the to-do list of things I have to do.
So much.
Between now and then, and also how I'm going to pack 2 weeks worth of stuff into my very small suitcase.
Yeah, no, I'm thinking the same thing. So I don't head out until Tuesday of next week, which obviously competition will have started by then. You'll have known your way around very easily by then. I will be very much Mr. New Boy turning up. But yeah, it's going to be it's huge. And for obviously, as we said before, three of our disciplines are already qualified. But all eyes are going to be on show jumping, because we really hope they're going to qualify for Tokyo at these Europeans.
We do. But there is a third member of our little media team out there.
Oh, yeah.
And also, of course, Road Trip Buddy. Our pilot, as he'll be the one ferrying us around in his oversized car. And that is John Stroud.
Yes. John's our photographer. For those who don't know, my guess is, if you're an equestrian fan, you're going to know John Stroud's name. You're certainly going to know his pictures, aren't you?
Oh, yes, because they are the ones that we use on our social media, on our website, on just about everything we do. The pictures belong to John. So he is coming out with us. So we thought the best thing to do would be to introduce you all to him. So Matt gave him a little interview.
I did. Here he comes. Let's start off then, John. Why don't you tell us your sort of history in equestrian sport? You know, how long are we going back here?
Well, I've been working purely in equestrian now for, it must be about 15 years or so, 15, 16 years. As a photographer, my background's originally in commercial advertising photography, but that's a little bit of an overfilled area and, not exactly inspiring or that varied a lot of the time. Came purely to equestrian about that time.
So did you have any sort of interest in equestrian sport before then, or did you just decide I'm going to get into equestrian sport?
No, I own horses. Have horses with my wife. We've got six of those at home, ranging from some tiny little miniatures right through to absolutely huge 18-3 South Francais Cross Shire.
Wow.
Who is quite epic, to say the least. Already had that interest there with the horses. Immediately prior to sort of just concentrating on equestrian, I'd actually worked in motorcycle sport as a photographer for a while. I'd covered things like the World Superbike Championship and MotoGP and the Isle of Man TT. But again, even something like that was a little bit limited, because everything you were doing was just purely sport on the track based. Whereas working in equestrian, there are just so many more opportunities for what you can actually do.
I was going to ask that. What is it particularly about equestrian sport that you enjoy covering?
I think it's an incredibly inspiring subject. I mean, there's nothing better than being out there with the horses and the riders. There's so much emotion involved. It's fast moving, no matter what discipline, even something like dressage. Some people might find that a little bit pedestrian for them, but there's a lot that you can do photography wise with dressage, and you know, you need to be thinking differently all the time, you know, to work different to, you know, where other people might be covering things. But yeah, with equestrian, you know, you're never in the same place twice. You know, you could be out on a mountainside photographing wild horses one day. You can be flying off somewhere around the world to cover a major championship, you know, the very next. You could be doing work in the studio. You could be on a yard. You know, you're dealing with really great, varied people from so many different backgrounds all the time.
And you get to know the riders as well, because they really trust you. You sort of, they sort of will seek you out at championships.
Yeah, that's been a real sort of bonus, and especially that comes from all the work that I do with the BEF and with Team GBR. I've become sort of a familiar face to many of the riders there, and that's kind of worked, I think, to both our advantages over that time. Riders can be more relaxed around me and not worried about what I'm doing, because they know how I work, who I work for, the fact that I'm there to present them in a really good light. And of course that then just works brilliant for me, because they're more off the guard a lot of the time. They're relaxed, they'll smile a bit more readily, they're not sort of too conscious about what your motives might actually be. And you do get to work quite in their pockets a lot of the time. I've got some really good relationships with a lot of the riders over the year, and likewise, relationships with a lot of the top horses that we know so well.
Now, you're going to be working with us at the Europeans this summer. Just give people an insight into what it's like covering a major championships like a European Championships. I'm going to guess very, very busy.
Yeah, it's absolutely non-stop. My work at a Europeans or any kind of championship doesn't sort of start with the with the first part of competition. There's a lot of preparation goes into advance work for it. Even just when we actually get on site, you're there perhaps up extremely early in the morning photographing training sessions. You're there to photograph the horse inspections. You're photographing the competition all the way through, and often, especially with something like the European Championships, where it's multidiscipline and we've got potentially riders competing in more than one discipline at the same time, you've got to be light on your feet and moving around constantly. After all of that's done, you've still got to then do something with the images, so things need downloading and then editing, and you've got to send them places. Easily at a championship, a working day can maybe start at, perhaps 6 in the morning and roll on until, perhaps 1 or 2 the following morning again.
Hang on, when are you sleeping then? If you're getting up at 6 and you're working from 6 and you're going to bed at 2?
It can get hard sometimes. We found, going back just a few years back to when we were in Normandy for the World Equestrian Games, that was an incredibly intense experience. We were working extremely long hours there, and it even just got to a point towards the back end of the championship where you're sitting in front of your computer in the media center, and the energy levels just drop to way below zero, and you just walk out and you go and climb in your car and you go and sleep on the back seat for 20 minutes. And then you come back and you get back to work again. And that's just how it can be sometimes.
And lots of coffee then as well.
Yeah, that's one thing that all good press rooms know, that you need to keep the photographers and journalists well supplied with caffeine, because we genuinely do rely on it for a championship.
Okay, so you'll be driving to it's Rotterdam and Le Moulin this summer. So what is in your car then, John? Because I'm going to guess it's a massive car because you're going to have all that kit.
It is a massive car, yes. I do a lot of miles per year. Probably don't have the most encouraging carbon footprint for my work. But traveling with me, there will usually be, camera bodies, there'll be usually about 6 of those, perhaps anything to about 10 different lenses, which range from sort of super wide angle lenses that I might use underneath jumps for remote camera shots, through to those enormous, huge telephoto lenses that you see us standing with at the sides of the arenas. There'll be a laptop, there'll be lots of spares, there'll be batteries, tripods, different clamps and things to put cameras in different places. It's an enormous amount of kit.
Is it, I mean, because I'm trying to get a sense of what makes you tick though, John. Is there anything that you would have in your car that you just cannot be without, that has to be there when you're going off to these big championships?
Aside from maybe the obvious equipment and things like that.
The car becomes very much your own personal space whilst you're out there. So, as long as I got something, you know, something to listen to, I know where I'm going, then I'm kind of comfortable with that. Again, I try and keep myself a bit fit. So, you know, if I can and I've got room, I might throw the bike in the car as well. And if I do have any spare moments, then that's just a nice thing just to go and get a little bit of downtime, but that's few and far between, really.
Now, we are going to be, Rachel and me are going to be in your car during the European. So here's a crucial question here, John, is what are we going to be listening to when we're in your car?
Well, I don't know what we'll be listening to. The thing is, I know that, fortunately, we've got there are some TV screens in the back of the car there. So whatever we're listening to up front, I know that, you know, Rachel can go and plug herself into the latest Disney movie or whatever she likes in the back there. But I'd imagine that that up front, it's probably going to be a little bit on the noisy side.
Oh, I do like a bit of noise. That's good. And what are the plans now for the future then? Because obviously we've got Tokyo around the corner. My guess is you don't stop between... Is there a time of the year when you stop, John?
There isn't really as much of a time to stop as I'd like. Over the winter, there's still some editorial work to do, and I do a lot of commercial equestrian photography, so I'm in the studio a lot over the winter months. Next year, 2020, is incredibly busy. We've got the FEI World Cup Finals for jumping and dressage in Las Vegas in the spring. Then, of course, we've got Tokyo 2020, which for me is two hits because I have to go there for obviously for the Olympic Games and then come back. And then after a few weeks back in the UK, fly out again for the Paralympics. So again, that's always just really intense. And even with all those, we still have to fit all the other competitions and work around those. So there'll be all the usual things I'll go to with your badmintons and burlies, and then abroad with things like Aachen and Lemulen and Rotterdam and all those good shows.
So, the next time you and I do a podcast, we are going to be in Rotterdam. Now, I don't know how many we're going to do. We're going to aim to do, obviously, we will do one every Wednesday to go out. But I'm hoping we might be able to do more than that.
Yeah, even if they're little short tour diary snippets, we're going to try and get some more. And we may try and get John on again to give us his... view of proceedings as well.
Brilliant. Okay. And obviously, if you want to get in contact with us, normal channels, how do people get in contact with us?
So you can email us, which is podcast@bef.co.uk. We are on Facebook, Equestrian Team GBR, Twitter @TeamGBR, and we are also on Instagram, Equestrian Team GBR. There are going to be loads and loads of updates of what we're doing up at the Europeans on social media. If there's anything you particularly want us to show you, people you want us to talk to, anything like that, get in contact, drop us an email, send us a message on social media, and we will do our best.
Because here's the point, this podcast is always, it's meant for fans, because we're fans, we love our sport, we love the impact that this sport has, and we just want to talk about the same kind of things that you want to hear about. So get in contact with us, and obviously leave us 5-star reviews. My needy bit at the end of every podcast is going to be me going, please give us a 5-star review, but please give us a 5-star review.
And if you do, we might read it out.
Yes, we might. Oh, hang on, we've got, right, okay. Really, this is Zwani Hoop. Zwani Whoop? Who knows? Really great podcast, hoping Dr. Mosh might make an appearance one day. Little reference to my former job, but there you go. Well done, Zwani. And Mr. Happy Unicorn, 5 stars. Enjoying being involved. Keep up the good work. Excellent. Don't know who that is.
But we will definitely keep up the good work.
We will. See you next week.